Hey, what's up? This is Sam from X Ambassadors, and you're listening to Sound Sessions.
All right, you're currently listening to Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
Sound what?
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
You're listening to the sweet sounds of Sound Sessions. Thank you.
All right, guys, what's going on? This is Michael with Sound Sessions. I'm here with the band X Ambassadors. We've got Sam, Casey, and Adam. What's going on, guys? How you been?
Doing good, man.
Doing good. We're excited to be here.
Hell yeah.
We're excited to have you here. So you're playing at the Aragon Ballroom tonight. This is a huge venue. I know you guys have been on the upward spiral since 2015 when VHS came out. How's everything going with the tour? How's it like to take on these bigger venues now?
It's great. I mean, it's really exciting for us. We came here last with Milky Chance opening for them in 2015. And I remember playing here and talking to the promoter afterwards, and he was like, oh, next time you guys come back, you'll be headlining here. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah. And it was unimaginable to me at the time, just because, you know, we had been playing in tiny little clubs for so long. But now we're here, and it's really exciting.
That's awesome. And I heard back in the day, you guys would drive around in a church van? Is that what I'm hearing
that was
about?
Our second van. We ran the first van into the ground, and then the second one we got a fairly reasonable price from a Brooklyn church. And it had all the info for that Brooklyn church on the sides of the van, which we never took off. We had a few people call them because we were parked where we weren't supposed to be parked, and they had the phone number right on the side of the van. So I apologize to them about that. Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, I mean, like, fun encounters.
We got a couple. Truck. We got an oil change once that they did on the house.
Yeah, nice.
Because we were like traveling
with the Lord, you know?
Yeah. That was probably as much as it got us, as far as benefits. Maybe we didn't get pulled over a couple times.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that. The whole non getting pulled over thing.
Benefits, yo. I'm telling you, dude. That was like golden.
Did you guys find any inspiration after everyone's like, oh yeah, you guys are a church? We're like, maybe we should write like a few Christian songs now.
Really big. We're all, you know, all Jews. So kind of, we feel too guilty doing that. Our ancestors would be turning in their graves. You know?
All the best Christmas songs are written by Jews.
That is true. That's
now.
Adam Sandler now.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's a really good point. I didn't even think about that. Well, that's. I hope that now your new tour, you guys have kind of moved up from the church van into a bigger tour bus. Okay. Yeah.
We have two tour buses now.
Really?
Yeah.
So you had your first tour bus, I think, when you went on tour with Muse. Was that correct? Was that when you first dived into it?
We had our first tour bus, I think it was on our own headline run. But then we did have our own bus when we were on tour with Muse. And it was so funny because they were flying everywhere. So we didn't get to see them at all. But it's funny the levels. Like, we were opening for Imagine Dragons. We were in a van and trailer, and they were in a bus. And then we had our own bus, and we were opening for Muse, and they had their own private plane. They flew everywhere. So it's like there's always the levels, you know, that you get to see.
So I'm guessing.
Look forward to, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, next tour, are you guys going to be flying on that private jet?
PJ status, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, sure.
That's great. So let's talk a little bit about your upbringing, how you guys kind of came together. Did you have kind of a musical background growing up? Did your parents play music? And tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, Casey and I are brothers, and our mom was a singer, and she sang mostly jazz and folk stuff and toured a little bit around the country, and she would work as like a lounge singer in hotels and restaurants, and worked in Atlanta and in L.A. and in Atlanta and L.A. mostly, but a little bit other places too. So we had music in the house a lot, and she played locally too, you know, when we were growing up in Ithaca. And Adam, you know,
same thing with me. My dad's a musician, my uncle's a professional musician, and I also have two older brothers who are like 10 and 12 years older who played drums and guitar. So as a kid, I always wanted to be like them, and that's why I started playing music.
Right on.
If you can hear that nice, smooth jazz styling in the back, we're sitting backstage at the Aragon right now. It's giving us a little bit of a soundscape to it.
Yeah.
It must feel nice.
Have you guys found that the musical background that you came from kind of helps you out, like with your music that you make today, like, you know, the the songwriting of, you know, the old folk stars.
Absolutely.
And like the instrumentation of the jazz.
Absolutely. I think Casey's got a serious foundation in jazz, you know, for his chops and on piano. And for me as a songwriter, I definitely draw a lot from, you know, the greats like Carole King and Carly Simon and Bob Dylan and then, you know, like even further back, you know, the classics like George and Ira Gershwin. You know, my mom sang a lot of those kind of standards. So
there's a lot of subconscious stuff that goes on when you are exposed to music like that so early in your childhood. I think there's a lot of things we don't even realize as we're writing or playing that we're drawing references or inspiration from songs we probably don't even actively remember, but we heard when we were little kids.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Do you guys remember the first album your mom or dad might have thrown on the record player and you're like, wow, this music thing is kind of...
I can't even remember because it was that, you know, it was literally since we were born. You know, it's one of those things, my memories don't go back far enough to be able to recall the first time. But I think that was part of it. I think it was a very immersive musical childhood.
Right on.
What about you, Adam?
I remember Rubber Soul.
Yes.
It was like one of the first records my dad... One of the first things I remember my dad playing and loving it.
Those Beatles albums and the way that they, I think they crafted vinyl in such a way where you'd want to listen to the first album, I mean the first song in the album, and listen all the way through, and that kind of picked up. And I feel like that is kind of what we've lost with music nowadays, is like wanting to listen to the full album from to start. So that's awesome. Rubber Soul. What about you? You got one?
I mean, I think I would say on your point, I there are actually a lot of records now that I love listening to front to back. Like, you know, I love that new Kendrick record. Obviously, everything that he's done, I love. Oh my God, I'm blanking on his name.
Yeah, the one from front to back.
Front to back. I'm trying to think. Childish Gambino. That's the record. So that Childish Gambino record is really, really great.
It reminds me of the news. It's like a new style Sly and the Family Stone or something.
Yeah, it's so cool.
It's all. I did not expect that.
He
keeps changing every album.
Yeah, I love it. I love that record.
I think there's a select few artists who still are really in, you know, into the idea of putting out fully, you know, integrated albums that tell a story or that have an arc to them. I think, you know, overall, you may be right that there are fewer, you know, entire albums that are a single piece of art, but there are definitely still lots of artists doing that.
What do you think about Kendrick Lamar? We're speaking on him winning the Pulitzer Prize for his work.
I think it's great. I think he deserved album of the year for the Grammys. You know, like, I mean, I think that is amazing to win a Pulitzer Prize. It's incredible, but you know, he deserves to be recognized by his peers as the greatest, you know, as great as he is, you know. Yeah, that's how I feel about it. I mean, it's like great, feels like a little bit of like a consolation, you know.
Yeah, like they almost made up for it.
He's so good, and he deserved Album of the Year 3 years in a row. every one of his records that he's put out, I believe has been the best album of that year. And I don't think I'm alone in thinking that. But you know, hopefully that situation will change at some point, you know, as the Grammy voting system becomes more kind of in line with the actual tastes of people of our generation,
currently,
you know,
music.
Currently making music. You know, I could go on and on about that.
I totally agree with you.
Diatribe about that. But
what do you guys, I know a lot of people brush off the Grammys, you know, because they don't take it too seriously. How do you guys feel about it?
Take the Grammy seriously. Of course we all want a Grammy. I mean, I would love to have a Grammy. It's frustrating when you see, you know, that it's just not reflecting the tastes of consumers and of music, and it's really only a select few people who are making these decisions who kind of are not
in touch necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Yeah, I guess.
Is there something other than a Grammy that you guys see, like, you know, say like a baseball player getting their number retired? Is there something else that you're like, you know what, like, this is cooler than like getting in the Hall of Fame or a Grammy?
Do you want your synthesizer retired?
Yeah, like, so do you want your like own effect pedal or like signature guitar?
That's, like, I mean, sure, but that's more of like a way of making money more so than like, you know, people with an artist branded Fender are doing it so they get residuals from the sales of it, not because it's
an honor.
But I personally think that awards for music are, and art in general, is kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
To be personally totally fair.
It's so
not
subjective.
To buy into the bullshit and want a Grammy.
Oh, 100%. Right. But you're not striking.
But it's like, you know, I mean, obviously art is subjective. But
it's so subjective. That's what always gets me, is it's, you know, if you're...
If you are listen to country music, you're not going to choose Kendrick Lamar's record for Album of the Year.
Exactly.
And
right.
If you listen to rap, you're not going to choose Keith Urban's record for Record of the Year.
Exactly.
So it's... And both of those parties are voting on each other's categories. But yeah, I just think, you know, critical review of art is kind of like totally against the point of art.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the way that people are consuming music now too. I mean, with Apple Music going becoming the go-to thing, and iTunes kind of being phased out, a lot of people are getting it from their on-demand devices. I don't even think we're not gonna have car radios in the next 10 years, I heard. How do you think, what's the best way to get your music, ex-ambassadors music, to the people that want to listen to it now? How do you guys go about that? Does that make sense?
You kind of, right now, it is changing, but there are still many players in that, you know, like, yes, in 10 years, radio will probably not be as big, and it's already gotten smaller, but you still have to play the radio game, and you have to play the Spotify game, and the Apple Music game, and even the iTunes game. You know, like, people over 50 don't understand Spotify and Apple Music, and those people are still buying music on iTunes. But as far as how we get our music heard, you know, we attack all those outlets, and streaming is becoming way more important, and playlisting and all that stuff. But just being on a playlist, you kind of have to have a perfect storm of all the things, you know, like just having your song on the radio, or just having your song on a playlist, or just having your song in the front page ads on Apple Music isn't going to do anything. You kind of have to have all those things hitting at once and more.
Yeah.
I hear you. We're sitting here with ex-ambassadors. The new songs are phenomenal. You're on the Joyful tour right now. I love that artwork that you have that coincides with the Joyful single. It's so passionate. Your first CD was VHS. It had 20 songs on it, which is pretty jam-packed. Do you guys just have a lot to say? And are you guys kind of more hyper-focused now with this new album? How are you approaching your new music?
Let me be clear. It had 20 songs, 20 tracks, not 20 songs.
Okay.
We had 13 songs on it. It was 20 tracks because there were these interludes we wanted on the record. We grew up listening to a lot of hip-hop, and what I always admired about these hip-hop records is that I grew up listening to is that they were almost like radio dramas, and that they incorporated skits, you know, that were sometimes funny, sometimes really poignant and sad, and they helped kind of push the narrative of the record. And so we wanted to do that with our record, you know, it was our debut record. We wanted to tell the story of who we were and where we come from, and so we gathered all this old footage of from our childhood, and you know, we wanted to show that Casey and I are brothers, and that we all had a history as a band for a long time. We've been a band now for over 10 years, and were a band for a long time prior to VHS coming out, so there's history there. But with the new record, it is, you know, it's definitely more focused. We'll still try and have, there is still a theme, and there won't be skits necessarily, but there are interludes and intros and outros and that's the kind of like the pieces between the songs that are really important to us. We're focused right now on making this record the best thing that we've done. And it's taken some time, and we will wait as long as it takes until we feel like this is going to topple VHS, you know? Just working hard on that right now.
I love it. Okay, last question, guys. You're here in Chicago, the world-famous Aragon Ballroom. What is some of the go-to things you have to do when you're in the city of Chicago?
Go to Chicago Music Exchange is one of them, which I didn't do today. For me, it's go to Equinox because that's the, one of the only cities on the tour that has an Equinox gym. So we could go pamper ourselves.
There's a restaurant here that I ate at last time. It's just the P. It's a big...
Pequod's is the pizza?
No. Publican.
Yeah, with the lights and stuff.
Publican is amazing. I would love to eat a Publican again. I don't think I'm going to be able to today, but when we go to Chicago, we try to see that. We see some friends. We got some friends who live here, so just. Yeah.
Have you been to the Green Mill right around the corner?
No, what
old
is it?
Blue. It's an old blues jazz club. It was like an old Capone hangout. Like, awesome. Great cocktails.
Oh, that sounds great, man. Yeah, I would love to. Maybe we'll check that out later.
Right on, guys. Thanks again for joining us here on Sound Sessions. Have a great rest of your tour. Can't wait till the album comes out.
Thank you. We can't wait to put it out.
Can't get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter @SoundSeshPod, and check us out on Instagram